Since I was in fourth grade, I have been wearing glasses or contact lenses. I used to hide my glasses because I didn't want to be called Four Eyes. Don't call me Four Eyes. But I've had to always need assistance to see. This past week, I had to go to the eye doctor to check my eyes. And thank God my eyes are healthy, especially being a diabetic.
Yes.
But you know, we've all been to eye doctors, I'm quite sure, where you put that device put on your face in front of you. And they put this small little print. And they say, read the smallest print you can. And I'm making up all kind of letters and words. But it's always that question that is asked as you go to your eye doctor exam and they adjust the lenses. Is it better or worse? Is it better or worse? I want to preach today around that question.
Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Is it better or worse? I'm not talking about my sight or my eye health. I'm talking about something a little bit deeper than that.
Come on.
Is it better or worse? And specifically, the state of human relationships in our country.
Come on.
Is it better?
Oh my gosh.
Or worse?
That's right.
I remember being the pastor of St. Therese Church in 2008. Amen. And awakened by people lining up. We had a voting site on our campus. And people lining up to vote for Senator Barack Obama.
Amen.
And one lady was way back in line and she said, I just hope, Pastor, that young man gets in from Illinois. And when we experienced, I remember the bells ringing at St. Therese, again, 2008. And we really thought there was a whole new wave of relationships in our country, didn't we?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Somehow we had moved on from the nastiness of division that existed for so long.
Right.
Remember how this country was founded.
Yes. Come on now.
How we came and took land from indigenous people.
Yes.
We forget that sometimes. This was somebody else's spot.
Come on.
Amen.
And we know what happened with people from Africa.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We thought we were so much better. And so I asked that question this morning, is it better or worse?
Right.
The tension that exists today, especially among people of color, people who are white, is it better or worse? The rising of white nationalism and white supremacy, of people who believe just because the way I was born makes me better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better or worse? The tension exists among people who claim to be people of faith. Try to find a diverse looking Catholic church in the Archdiocese, except for St. Martin de Porres, who welcomes all.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
I've been in spaces where you walk in a church and you're a different race and you're like, what are you doing here? Is it better or worse? We see the disconnect between those who have that top 1% and those who are just trying to struggle to make ends meet. And I won't give you anything I got because I got mine. I don't have to worry about sharing my little bit with you. Is it better or worse? The question's asked. For those who identify one way in their sexual orientation, for whatever reason, born that way, or just whatever it may be, and the tension we exist between those who are that and those who are not.
That's right.
How many times we say, well, my son better not be gay, my daughter better not be a lesbian, and we put up walls. We know the suicide rate is so great, especially among young people who just cannot speak their truth. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning.
Yes.
Right.
Even among those of us who have African blood, the tensions exist. I can go on and on all afternoon about examples of tension, of division that exists. And what it can lead us to is a space where we say, you know what? I don't see any hope. And we become cynical and lose our joy.
Right, that's right.
A woman said to me this week, you know, Father, that Boy Scout stuff, the same as the Catholic priest stuff, that's why I don't trust anyone with my child.
Wow.
Become bitter and lose our hope. And once you become a bitter Christian, once you lose your joy as a person of faith, the devil's got you.
That's right.
But let's be honest, church, it's hard out there trying to be a Christian.
That's right. Amen.
It's hard out there trying to have joy. It's hard out there trying to see each and every person as my sister and my brother, no matter what.
Yes.
It's hard out there. I was in a Wawa recently, being what I try to be as a gentleman. An older woman was coming out the store as I was going in the store. And I do what I often do, I open the door for her to allow her to come out.
Amen.
She looked at me, opened her own door, and kept on going.
Wow.
Trying to take her money. I got my own money. I was trying to be a human being.
Amen.
But that tension, I was like, you know, what's up with that? Why do we have to be so mean to each other? Why do we be so hateful to each other? Even in church.
Come on.
Yes.
Even among people who share the same roof, the same Eucharist. Oh, we come to church and we sing with our friends, but how many times we reach across the aisle? We'll talk about the Republicans not reaching across the aisle, but do we reach across the aisle? Or am I always in my same spot with my same people? And don't you dare take my seat. Whether somebody would take your seat long before 10 o'clock when you got here.
Come on now.
Would that somebody would be in your seat?
Yes.
We have no problem doing our pew hugging. This is my seat. You see, we like to hang on at the end. What if we all just move a little bit closer to the middle?
Come on now. Amen.
And maybe somebody who's a different race or gender or a different person, for whatever different may be, might sit beside you.
Amen.
And you might say, welcome, my name is.
Come on now.
We can talk about the stuff out there, but sometimes we breathe that same toxic air of division.
Yes.
And the devil rejoices. We become cynical and lose our joy. But in prayer this morning, I thought to myself, God, you woke me up this morning. And I cannot simply give my people a word of depression. I cannot simply give my people a word of how bad things are. That's not the faith I was born into back in 1968. That's not the faith I had from Holy Souls. That's not the faith that the elders taught me. I'm not talking about a doctrine or a dogma in a book. It's that old time religion.
Come on, old time.
That old school stuff. It's that faith to believe that God is with you. It's that faith to believe even when you can't see it, God is with you. Even when you don't experience God's presence, you say, I'm walking by myself, and God says, no, I'm carrying you because I've been there before. And I'm going to be there again. Don't you think for a moment that God has forgotten you.
Amen.
We've come too far.
Yes.
Where we started from.
Amen.
And specifically as a people of color.
Yes.
We know about walking by faith.
Hello.
Amen.
We know about when folks said, you better not worship. We went out and worshiped by ourselves in the fields. When folks said, you better not go to school, we went to school. When folks told us we could not do something. And just maybe we've lost the spirit of the elders. That's why I taught a course on black spirituality.
Amen.
Young lady said, well, Father, how come the spirituals don't sound like Kirk Franklin, Anthony Brown, all those folks? That's nothing against those folks. But the spirituals came out of something different.
Yes.
Yes.
It was a moan sometimes.
Yes, Lord.
A beat. It's a clap. If you didn't have instrumentation, you had the spirit and the beat of the heart. That's why the drum is so important for us as a people, because that's all we had.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Lost that. But the faith that we have today comes directly from what this young man read, Hebrews chapter 11. What faith is.
Yes.
Read this again tonight. In your quiet space. Faith is a realization of what is hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. You see, that faith leads us to a place of joy. You believe that God is not, even though it seems like God's left us, God has not. I've been preaching this for over 8 years to remind us the kingdom of God is among you.
Yes.
It's hard to see that sometimes. My brother read the gospel today about the thief coming when you least expect him.
Oh my.
When your house gets robbed, not expecting anybody to come into your house. Someone asked me, well, Stephen, why did you have your shoes and your wallet, your keys downstairs? Well, it's my house.
That's right. That's right. Come on, man.
Where you put your shoes at when you come in the house?
Come on now.
It's my house. We never know when the thief is coming. Never know. But I'm not worried about that punk who broke into the rectory right now.
Come on.
And I say that with all due charity. When you go around taking people's stuff and harassing people and preying upon the elders and the vulnerable, that's not how we should be.
Amen.
That's not how we should be.
Amen.
I'm worried more about getting ready for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Because he's going to come at an hour I may least expect. Am I ready? Is my heart ready? Is my soul ready? Is my faith alive? To know that some battles, church, you have to realize you got to give them to God.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
Sometimes you're fighting, and it leads to a place where you want to just give. I don't have the strength. And God says, yeah, you don't. Give it to me.
Yes. Yes.
Give it to me.
Yes.
If you don't give it to God first, if you don't go back to that faith where Abraham was told, if you just trust me, I'm going to change your name. From Abram to Abraham. And count those stars if you can. So shall your descendants be. And even your wife Sarah. She ain't having no baby. She's too old. Don't tell me what God can't do.
Amen.
Don't tell me God can't do it.
Amen. Right.
Who knows that God can do whatever God wants to do? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Who knows? You know what I'm talking about. that God can do whatever God wants to do. If you have faith, if you walk by faith, and you see what God did to Abraham and Sarah, don't tell me what God can't do. Like I tell you what God did to Moses and Joshua. Go speak truth to power. I'm not equipped. Yes, you are. Go tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Don't tell me what God can't do. I know a virgin who opened herself up and gave herself away. And God said, trust the process. It's not my plan. Trust the process. Joseph, that's not my plan. I said,
trust
the process, because God was going to send us a Savior.
Hallelujah.
A Savior who would be with us in good times and bad, in sickness and health, and would come and remind us today on this 11th day of August in troubled times in our country, in our church, in our city that claimed to be one of love. And how many people were shot this past weekend? If we don't preach love, if we don't preach faith and remind somebody, you better not give up. You better hold on. You better trust, and don't you let anybody take your joy.
That's right.
We've come too far. And I want somebody to know, when I left that church this morning, I'm better than when I came in, because somebody said to me, don't you lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy, my sister. Don't you give up. In the midst of the struggle, don't you dare give up. Don't you give up. Because this battle, it's not yours. It's the Lord. This battle, better or worse, God's got this. Hold your head up.